Welcome back to Business Partner Partners. I'm Ryan.
I'm Chrissy.
And today we have, I don't know how to describe, like the pros of working together.
Multiple experiences working together. We're going to hear all about, but we have David and Sarah Baker on. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi. And we're going to learn all about how they work together because it's in multiple ways. The way that most of our Greenville friends and people will know is Methodical Coffee, which is...
The brains of Methodical Coffee.
The brains of Methodical Coffee.
Oh, man.
Let's see if Marco and Will are learning. I would say David and Sarah are the best parts of Methodical Coffee.
I would say they were the brains if Marco and Will were here too, though. So that's not
They
unfair.
Are definitely the front men. Yeah. We are just behind the scenes. And I like it that way.
That's great. Okay, so we go back with y'all. My first memory is that David and I were in a mission trip group together in college. We didn't actually know each other then.
Was that Chicago?
I can't remember.
Chicago, I'll say it.
It must have been.
Some real serious mission work there.
Yeah.
Where were we? I don't know. There were girls and boys.
Then Justin Greenville met Sarah. I don't remember how we got hanging back together with y'all.
I know when I first moved to Greenville, everybody's like, you know David Baker, right? I'm like, no, I don't. But
yeah. Oh, so you guys didn't know each other in college.
No.
We knew each other.
Of each other. Yeah. Knew he existed, but like people are like, you and David, right? And like, nope.
Ryan's way cooler than I.
And that's not true. That's the opposite of true.
Yeah, I can confirm. Okay, so we're gonna talk a little bit about how y'all met.
Ooh.
Now, I know we've had a dinner before where we heard the long story, which is all I want to hear is the long story of everybody, but we can't take up everyone's time with the long story. So just give us the nice short version of how y'all met.
And there were actual names in the whole story. We can leave those out if we
need to. Yeah, we'll leave the names out.
The names?
There were names. I can't remember her name.
I do. Okay, go ahead.
I can't remember what you told you in the long version.
Okay,
short version. The short version is that we met in Boy Scouts. David was a scout, and I was an honorary Boy Scout because my dad was a scout leader and my brothers were in the troop. So I went on a lot of the camping trips into the, what do you call them during the week?
The scout meetings.
You were so progressive. Being a Boy Scout before you was allowed.
Yeah, it's just 30 years ahead.
We have photo evidence. There's a picture of me in like a 2XL t-shirt. And David and my family and a couple other people at a camping site of us. Yeah. I was probably 8, I think. You might have been 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Obviously. Was the hook, that 2XL shirt. You know?
It's a great picture. I'll send it to you later.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. So, but I wouldn't have remembered him from there. But then when we were in high school youth group, David dated my best friend for 2+ years.
She wouldn't date me, so I had to date her best friend to see her more, you know?
Tales of this time. Yeah.
I was never asked. but I did go on most of their dates, so I got to third wheel and get to know David really well.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was great. We were good friends. And then dated for a little bit the summer between high school and college for me. David's a year and a half older than me, so he was already at Tech then. And then dated again at the end of college. And then we got married.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Her brother, all through my time at Clemson, said, hey, you should date my sister. And I told him, I have been trying for years. So,
aww.
Yeah.
That's so romantic.
And here we are.
I've been trying. He wasn't trying that hard.
He was dating somebody for a really long time. Yeah. So
I'm going to say this. I'm going to be in trouble for the rest of the time here. But I did ask her out at one point. Ooh. And
look at Sarah's face.
Literally, she did not respond to anything. So about 20 minutes later, I had to get up and leave because that wasn't going anywhere.
So the moral is, if you don't get affirmation after 20 minutes, move on to the next person you're into.
Very quickly.
It's a good rule of thumb.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I should include that in my advice that I send out to 20-year-olds.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you get married pretty much right after college. Is that right?
For me, yeah.
Okay, and I know y'all jumped into something big pretty soon after, so tell us about what that was and how it came about.
Yeah, so towards the end of my time at Clemson, I got to study abroad in Venice, Italy, or right outside Venice, and fell in love with Europe, so came back to Clemson with this desire to move back overseas. So spent the last year, I got an extra semester out of Clemson, just dreaming about what it would look like to move to Europe in some capacity. So convinced my best friend He was also dumb enough to pursue this with me. And along the way, I picked up Sarah and I said, this is where I'm going. If you're interested, let's move to Europe. So it took us about a year. I think our first year of marriage, I was working at Fleur, but the whole time we had a foot out the door out of Fleur in Greenville, looking at Prague. So we had the opportunity to start a hostel hotel in Prague, Czech Republic, which we were there for 5 years, called Mosaic House, still going. But that was kind of the first 5 years of our marriage, very formative. And if you talk to anybody who knows us well, it's like a place we start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just seems like that's who we are to the core. And we still live in the heyday of our marriage. I think it's still great, but moved there full-fledged and just like left everything behind.
Man. They were very formative years, I think, definitely as individuals and for sure as a couple. I think it framed a lot of who we are even still. I mean, we've back in the States now for how long?
11 years.
11 years, but I still, you know, somewhat identify as a person that lives.
Well, that's like a formative time anyway, like being newlyweds, being right out of college, like you're figuring out a lot about yourself anyway, mm-hmm. and then like doing it somewhere else is even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Living the dream.
You got to go deep fast when you live in a second country that's not yours. So I think that was very forging for us and bonding for us for sure.
And then y'all had your first kid over there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Yes.
Ingrid was born in Prague.
Yeah.
So does she have dual citizenship?
No. We thought she would have, but we just recently Googled it again because you got different answers from people when you were at the, what was that place called? Where we would go to get visas, the Foreign Embassy.
Yeah.
American Embassy. No. Different place. Anyway, we would go there and every time you'd need different papers and you just never knew who you were going to get and they were going to ask of you. And we had asked at one of those trips if she was eligible and they said, yeah, until she's 18, you can just fill it out. You know, she just needs her birth certificate, whatever. But we had talked about this for so long and kind of Ingrid had been asking questions. And so I finally Googled it and was like, no, she was American when she was born. She was born to Americans as like, she didn't get a birth certificate. She got a consular report of birth abroad, whatever. She's not eligible. So.
Ah, bummer.
She's American through and through.
That was longer than our dating story.
No, that was great. I wanted to know that.
She asked a question. I live in the details.
So we have not had anyone on the podcast yet that started a business in another country. Tell us a little bit about the challenges and kind of, you know, you say like, to y'all, it seems so normal. Like, yeah, we just started a hostel hotel. It's like, how do you even start that or begin that process or choose where to do it or find a building? I mean, I have so many questions about it, but like that is, I mean, for y'all, it was just your norm. You were there for 5 years, but talk to us about how it started.
Chrissy's asking because she wants to do this deep down.
Portugal, right?
I studied abroad in Argentina and with my study abroad friends, we were like, we're coming back. We're going to start a hostel. You know, everybody says it like, you know, y'all kind of lived the college kid dream of like, I mean, and I know it was not all butterflies and roses, but.
And now you're the other college kid dream of coffee.
You really are. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh,
yeah. Y'all are living everyone's like, this is what I'm going to do after college.
But that is, I mean, first of all, everybody like backpacks in Europe or they want to for 2 weeks and they're like, you know, I'm going backpacking in Europe, but y'all like actually stayed there, but let's go back.
Sure.
How did it actually logistically start?
We were dumb enough to think we could pull this off. And so we talked about it, dreamed about it, traveled abroad. So when we graduated, there was three of us that went abroad, Daniel Park, Michael Johnson, who you guys both know. We went out, I think 11 cities in a month and a half and just kind of were feeling out just different spots we could plop down. And it was pretty apparent that it was going to have to be something bigger than us to like make this work because, you can't own property abroad. We don't speak any foreign languages. So it was like narrowing down like where we could end up. But
if I happen- love the I love the confidence in this.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to do this.
So,
okay, so you're narrowing it down.
We narrowed it down. We had some crazy stories, a really fun time. Nobody travels Europe in January. It's like the worst time to go, but it's also the cheapest time to go. But we literally got off the train in Prague and our now jeans were frozen because it was so cold outside. Jeez. Like the Vltava, which is the river that runs through Prague, was frozen, which is crazy. A moving body of water freezes over. And we got off the train and I was like, this is it. This is home. We don't know why. Hmm. Daniel had never been there. Michael had never been there, but it just seemed like the right spot. And that night we met a guy in the pub who happened to be an American and he's like, yeah, just moved over here with a friend of mine, and we're supporting him. He was planning a church, and he's like, you should meet the guy upstairs. He owns this place. And so the next day we went to lunch, and it was like, oh, you guys want to start a hostel? You're crazy enough to move over here? Like, I'll entertain that lunch. So over the next 8 or 9 months, we were in contact, and they're like, we can invest in you guys. If you're willing to move over here, we will find the building, and we can help you guys out. So Sarah and we had things going for us here, but this is our passion. And so as soon as we could move, we were gone. We were on like the next flight overseas.
So y'all were married at the time when you were like scouting?
No. We had just started dating.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we were official the night that I helped him pack to leave for Europe.
Oh, okay. Perfect. For a month and a
half. Yeah, I asked her out again.
Crying into a suitcase.
I asked her out again at like 4 a.m. on the night I left for a month and a half. And this is like pre-international cell phones. So these were definitely like going to these, computer labs or internet cafes or whatever and sending back emails or whatever. So
it's like the ultimate hard to get. Like, come on, date me. I'm leaving the country. Like, this is so cool. I'm so cool.
Yeah, I'm so cool.
How are you going to say no?
Her parents loved the fact that I was like going to drag her daughter overseas away from them. So,
well, he got back from that trip and he was talking about, everything all at once. But then the, thing that kept coming up to the surface was like, it's got to be Prague. Prague is the spot.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just go look up where Prague is really quickly. Where are we moving? And at that point, we've known each other long enough that we're both like, yes, we had just started officially dating, but I think we both kind of knew that this was going to end up being a us conversation. Invested from there. I want to say that they would have found a way to make it happen, whether they met somebody there that had, boots on the ground doing the work already. But having partnered with, it was Chris was the American, Matthias was he's German. He was the guy that owned it at that part of the story. Having them there made all the difference because they helped us get our visas. They helped us figure out where to live. We lived with Chris and his family for a month or two when we moved there. That was a huge difference maker that it probably kept us there longer than we would have been if we had tried to do it on our own.
Yeah.
So the short answer is we found the right people along the way.
I don't do short answers. Okay.
Well, no, that's a great answer, but we couldn't have done it on our own. It was not possible, but we bumped into literally the right two people that were amazing business people, amazing humans, and they took a flyer on us, and we had a great time.
So looking back on it now, what do you think about yourselves when y'all decided to move over there? Were you like, holy cow, we are so naive? Are you like, I'm so proud of us for doing that? Or all of the above? Do you have any like emotions that come up when you think about like your young selves, like just making that leap?
Yeah. You're helpless, 100% helpless. Starting a business, you're already behind the eight ball trying to figure out, like, how is this going to work? And then you move overseas and you can't even, like, go to the foreign office and fill out paperwork or anything. So we were dependent. We were kids that had to depend on other people for everything. Mm. Like, you get a speeding ticket, you got to take somebody down to the police station to help you navigate that. So a lot of our story is just, like, keep walking forward, but it didn't actually, I don't think we had a lot. I mean, we were taking the chance, but for the most part, other people were doing all the work for us, and we just happened to fall in line with these other guys, and they were amazing humans first and foremost to kind of believe in us.
Yeah.
We were wildly unprepared. And I think you learn so much more in that situation, right? Like you learn a lot about yourself and about each other. And you're grateful for things that you wouldn't have been grateful for in the beginning because you didn't know what to expect, right?
Yeah.
Massively proud that this is a conversation for another day, but there is a different lifetime in which we would still be living there.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm incredibly proud of that part of our lives and the people that we became because we lived there and did that hard thing.
And Sarah cried for the first month every day because she was living in Prague.
And then some.
And then she cried for every day for a year after she had to move back to the States. So
I cry. Yeah.
I think it says a lot about y'all, though, as people. Like, I know you're saying you're meeting the right people and like things are just lining up. But anybody that's met y'all knows like you're the kind of people that people want to be friends with. Like, you, we meet you, and
I've tried other, so hard.
Other people meet you, and it's like, I want to spend time with these people. And I think that speaks to y'all's confidence and your determination to like just do it. And then you met the right people, but also y'all were the right people to do it. So I think it's cool. But I also think that feeds into like starting another business here. And so I think this is a good merge into Methodical. And so if one of y'all wants to kind of talk about the early days of Methodical and what it is and what you're doing now, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll take this for a little bit. But just the partner portion of Prague too is worth mentioning, because Sarah and I did work together, and she was a crucial part of Bohemian Hostels, like answering all the emails, all the things that I hate doing and I'm terrible at, she's good at. So she makes a great partner in marriage and in business.
Oh, tender.
Yes. We were chatting a little bit last night, but we did put up parameters around working together, because when you share an office and you're in the thick of it day to day, you can talk about it all the time. We don't have kids or outlets. So we would ride the tram home like 20 or 30 minutes and like, all right, when we get off the tram, we do not talk about work, because it's all consuming. So in our last year in Prague, our hostel, Mosaic House, hosted the Czech National Barista Championships. And
how serendipitous.
Yes. And we had, it was on Mother's Day, had no idea what a barista championship was, but it was hosted in our hostel, because it was a big hostel. It was like, slept 400-ish people.
Wow.
Had Holy a big cow. Concert venue in it. So it was rented out by Budweiser at one point and Coke at another point, and barista championships the next time. So we just popped in, and there are all these like the first sight of hipsters ever in Mosaic House. No, that's not true. But all these like Czech people with tattoos, like drawing latte art and foam. Like, oh, this is kind of crazy. And I just went deep dive into this whole scene. Like, who are these people? Where can I get this experience again? So that was kind of the origin story of like how we got into coffee. And hospitality will wear you down. If your business is open 365 days a year and you're busy on the weekends and when everybody else wants to vacation, that is taxing for a lifestyle, especially when you're trying to raise a kid. So I was trying to get out of hospitality, not specifically Prague, but kind of the writing was on the wall that we had to leave Prague. So moved back to Greenville, knew we wanted to do something in coffee. We were naive about what that would look like again, but
tell me about it. I mean, we're that right now.
You guys are crushing it. I couldn't even find a place to park this morning. So what are you talking about? But knew I wanted to be in coffee, or we wanted to be in coffee, and that was it. But 3 days after we got back, we bumped into Will Schertz, who's a co-owner of Methodical. He was hosting a Cup of Excellence cupping at his old company, and as soon as I met him, I was like, I can't work against this guy. I got to work with him. Like, he was the coffee guy, and he knew the people, and he was the center of like kind of coffee culture at the time. So that's how we kind of got started. And there was some, you know, there's some twists and turns in our story. But about a year after being back, we finally got a third business partner, Marco Suarez, who was living in Atlanta at the time, and he and Will were working on a coffee concept. So they invited me into Methodical, and the three of us started working on Methodical.
Nice.
And can't run a company without having somebody do payroll. So that's how Sarah got looped into Methodical.
Yeah. And another little tidbit, when we decided to, so Methodical officially opened what year?
2015.
Okay.
Yeah. You just had your 9-year.
Yeah.
Thing.
And congrats. We have
George, our son, is a month older than Methodical, so he's our marker.
It's low stress.
Yeah. It's a good way to remember it.
Have a kid and open a business.
So
Irish twins.
That's funny. So Methodical, when we decided to open Mountain Goats, if you've listened to any of our backstory on Mountain Goats, so we wanted to have a business to support the nonprofit that Ryan started in 2008. And it was a climbing gym, and then we transitioned to a coffee shop bar model. And so when we opened Mountain Goat as it is now, it's a coffee shop and bar, basically everything Ryan did and ordered was because David said, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
I mean, just so y'all shaped, like, you shaped a lot of what.
Should I apologize again?
Yeah. What a compliment.
You should apologize to me because you made Ryan think it was easy.
I don't think he ever said that.
Well, you gave Ryan confidence.
But you love people, you love serving, so you're in the right spot.
I mean, we wouldn't be here truly without Methodicals. Like, we couldn't have just done it, I don't think. So, thanks.
Yeah, wow. So we exclusively use all of Methodicals beans here. They do a roast specifically for us called the Mountain Blend. But we also use the Blue Boy for our espresso. We use Pink Lady for our cold brew. So were we one of the first exclusive Methodical shops?
Probably.
Okay. I'm trying to think of other, what are the other exclusive Methodical shops now?
Don't give them the PR.
I don't care. I'm
We don't have any.
Really?
Just kidding. I was like, no, but honestly, you guys took a chance on us because we were kind of new to roasting. When did
Mountain?
2018. So we started roasting in summer 2016, and it was exclusively, in the beginning, it was just for ourselves before we extended to wholesale. So you were early adopters and the first people that were exclusive. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Great. First people.
Until we go on somebody else's podcast and they correct us.
Yeah.
Like, this is our last podcast ever.
We brought you on here to shame you that we were actually the first place. Okay, cool. So Sarah, you've moved from doing, so at the very beginning you were doing payroll. Mm-hmm. And I know you had another career as well that you were in. So talk about what y'all each currently do in the business. So kind of what, David, your role is, and then Sarah, what your role is as well. So
mine's a little bit more focused than yours, so I'll go first. I do a lot of the day-to-day money things. So receivables, payables, payroll, bookkeeping.
Okay.
That's my area.
Did you think that that would be an area that you would enjoy?
So I've often said that I've spent most of my, adult working years working for small businesses, and it's been great for lots of reasons, one of which is because a lot of times the role is more designed around you and your skill set and the things that you enjoy versus you're trying to fill kind of like this uniform shape of something else. Basically, I mean, I can't say all the things that I do I love doing, but I can.
Yeah, if you have a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life, they say.
Yeah, they say
that's
that.
Fake. Fake news.
Yeah, I like what I do. It's designed around the things that I feel competent doing.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to brag on her as well because
this is your space. This is where you do it.
Yes.
Until last July, Sarah had run payroll for Methodical for 8.5 years without ever missing a week. So
I've done payroll from at least 3 countries and many states.
Wow. That sounds so horrible. What do you use for payroll?
Hey, shout out. We just switched to Payfluence, local to Greenville.
Oh.
This episode is brought to you by Payfluence.
I think you pronounce it. Payfluence, you say?
Payfluence.
Don't look
that
That's
up. That's even better commercial because now people
use the
be
code
like, no,
Methodical30 to get nothing off.
You're welcome, Ethan.
Yeah.
Yes, Payfluence. They're great.
But it's crazy. I mean, you own a small business. Like, we're on vacation and Sarah's like, okay, it's Tuesday. I have to like cut out for 3 hours while we're in Chicago and go like herd cats and get everybody's hours right. And it's just something that she does super well. And it's like the most important people, our most important job to our people is just getting paid.
Yeah.
And I don't think people just take it for granted that people get money in their bank accounts on Fridays, she busts her tail every week to get that done and thoroughly as well.
So you said until last July, you'd done it for 8.5 years without missing a week. Did you miss a week last July?
Yeah, I didn't get paid.
That would be a much better story. No, we hired a CFO.
Wow, big time.
Ethan, yes. And like major game changer for Methodical and for the bakers. he wanted to learn the ropes, and so he said, let me do it. We had gone to Miami for a couple of very, very hot days.
Nice.
And I could have done it. I did a lot of the prep work, because it was his first time doing it, but he ran payroll for us.
Nice.
Yeah.
I also run our payroll here, and I have missed it twice.
Yeah?
I like lose sleep over that. That's so stressful for me.
It is stressful. Yeah. Okay. I don't remember one time.
One time was because of a holiday. There was like a bank holiday on Monday, so I had to be in like a day early or something.
Oh yeah,
you didn't. Remember. I hadn't told you that.
I don't remember the other time.
I love that you're taking the blame there, Ryan.
Yeah.
Probably the second time you got her sick or something.
Yeah, yeah. The second time I was probably.
I thought you were going to say the second time he's ever taken blame for something. That's wrong. That's only the second time you've ever taken blame for me. No, one time we missed a birthday party and.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to say that on here. Okay. Moving on. So you started off doing payroll. Mm-hmm. But now are you, Sarah, are you full-time with Methodical?
My version of full-time, which is 25 to 30 hours because kids.
Kids.
Yeah. So how much do y'all's, well, David, actually, I want you to say kind of like your overarching role at Methodical now, Sarah.
Yeah, I
want to
know this
One
too.
One of the co-founders, but what do you do?
Wow.
What do you actually do?
I'm going to say something, you can edit it out, but I call myself the voice-activated bitch of Methodical.
Oh, we got to put explicit on this episode.
Nah,
just kidding. That's not explicit. Just cut that out. Honestly, I love the variety of like what my job is. I technically am the operations manager. Until recently, until we hired Betty, who's our head of operations. So my job is anything that needs to be done. It's from handyman work, which I'm not great at, so it takes twice as long. oh gosh, what do I do?
Come on.
I do feel like every time we have an issue here where I'm like, I got to ask David what to do. I'm like, hey, this is broken. I need to like fix it. You're like, yeah, I'm fixing something at the shop downtown. Let me call you later.
That's right. That's
always.
David spends a lot of time in meetings every week. So he's managing the people under him that get some of the more nitty gritty things done, but you also are in the nitty gritty a lot.
Yeah. I love it. I love having my hands kind of dirty with just all the different things that come our way. But I kind of do anything and everything that Will and Marco don't want to do or don't have time to do. And that's a beautiful thing about our partnership, the three of us. Like, Will is a very clear, like, coffee guru, and he does our sales, and he excels at that. Marco does our marketing, branding, and he excels at that. And then all the operational stuff, just like...
And you excel at that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I excel at that. But being on the ground and just being supportive, and I think that's big for business owners, is just to show up and be...
Yeah.
Side by side and willing to clean a grease trap or do something that nobody else wants to do. Just do that for them. I'll clean your grease trap.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
No take backs. No take backs.
It's horrible.
Ryan does ours, yeah.
That's my job around here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We should work together and just do the circuit. You know?
That's great.
You do the circuit. Y'all could hang out. I mean, if y'all are looking for a time to hang out, you should clean the grease traps together. Just travel from shop to shop and do it.
I think I lose that end. There's three shops to one.
We'll split it halfway, right?
You win it too, and you get to hang out with David. So that's what you want to do.
I mean, I'll do anything.
I'll watch NASCAR with you.
I do want to say, I think the future of your position, it's morphed a little bit recently, but I think the future is you're the ideas guy, and you're going to pursue the new potential fun things for Methodical.
Yeah. Special projects need somebody to run them. And that's kind of what I enjoy. It's just like the research and just making the connections and just keeping us moving towards something, whatever's next.
Yeah.
So
I feel like you think pretty creatively and are always like looking for like the next thing for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm. For worse. Yeah.
For worse.
Thank you for saying that. I actually, going back to Prague, and it's true here too, we're all idea people. I think if you're a business owner, you have to be an idea person. But in Prague, my nickname was Clay Pigeon. At our owner's meetings, I would sit down and like, hey, I've got an idea. And they, one of the co-owners like, ch-ch-ch. He's just ready to shoot me down immediately. So that's like how my brain operates. So I say all my ideas out there and a few of them stick every now and then.
It wasn't Clay Pigeon Bitch.
This is definitely explicit.
Now we've said it twice.
Yeah.
What's your nickname now? Tell him your nickname now.
What is it?
Daddy Discount.
Oh, I'm Daddy Discount.
Oh, Daddy Discount.
That's actually my leading job at Methodical is telling Will and Marco, like, oh, we can't afford that or we shouldn't do that. So I'm always looking for a discount in everything I do.
Well, actually, we're going to ask you for a discount live on this podcast, so you have to say yes.
Yeah, we don't already donate coffee to you guys. This is horrible. Will, what are you doing?
I know. Will, come on. Okay, so how much do y'all's day-to-day overlap, if at all? And what does it look? What does y'all's like communication style look like throughout the like work day?
Not a lot. We don't overlap very much. We do share an office, but David is rarely in there because he's usually in meetings.
Yeah.
Or he's at one of the shops. working on something.
Is this the office, the TR?
Yes.
Okay.
Traveler's Rest.
Roastery. Okay.
We've had our roasting facility up in Traveler's Rest now for a year-ish. Mm-hmm. Offices are there. When they were building it out, I was like, so where's my office going to be? And Dave was like, yeah, we'll figure that out. And so it was like time to move in. And we're like, can I just stay in here with you? So that's so, my office.
So that romantic.
David sometimes visits.
Sometimes visits.
Yeah.
I feel like on paper, it looks like our jobs overlap more than they actually do. I'm not typically asking David questions. That goes to Ethan, our CFO now. On paper, David is my boss, but rarely has ever felt that way. I know, that feels cringy for a lot of people, but I promise, like, in the day-to-day, it doesn't feel that way. It's rare that I'm asking David for something like you'd ask a boss. I mean, I'll ask him questions like I ask coworkers, like, just what do you spend this money on? Like, yeah.
We don't pay ourselves, so she's always asking for money.
Can I have time off? Can you have time off? Can we have time off together?
Yes, exactly.
The answer is no.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, do you ever come home and like one of you has found out something that's going on in the business and it's like, oh my gosh, I have to tell Sarah this, or Sarah, you know something, you're like, did you hear about this? And y'all are like, no. Do you ever shock each other with methodical news?
It's always a one way.
Yeah.
David has all the good gossip.
I'm a verbal processor. You both know that. So I get home and I need the kids gone. I just want to have Sarah for an hour and just like tell her everything that happened.
Yeah.
Or I'll never tell her if I don't get it out immediately, because, you know, kids go to bed. You're like, yeah, what happened to you? I don't know. It's time to go to bed and start over.
I will say that is where it feels like we work together. It's not in the actual workplace.
Oh, interesting.
We go home and we're talking about work, which David minds more than I do because, again, he's always filling me in on stuff. I'm like, ooh, tell me more. Mm-hmm. And he is, no, I've talked about it enough today. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So I think we've learned to try to have that conversation earlier in the day, not when we're trying to fall asleep, because that will get David all, not riled up, but, you know, like processing again.
And I get in the car and call Sarah every time, like, hey, what are you doing? Okay, let me tell you about what I just did.
That's so nice.
And then there are times where she's like, tell me more about, and I'm like, I don't know, I can't do it. It's going to keep me up. It's going to stress me out. I'm already losing sleep. So there are those times where we put up boundaries.
Yeah. We've definitely had the like laying in bed conversation of like, did you remember to run payroll today? Like, yeah, I did. Okay, night.
or me asking or telling you something and your answer is just good night. I'm like, hey, what are we gonna do about it? And you're like, night.
Like, or like, all right, cool. I'm about to go to sleep, but I forgot to tell you that so and so gave me their 2 weeks notice. Night.
Like, okay, I'm gonna stay awake.
Ooh. Bye.
But she does a great job of burdening, or like sharing the burden of my stress. I will say that for sure.
That's good.
Because sometimes I don't have Will or Marco's ear, but I have her ear. She can't get away from me.
No choice. That's what we were going to ask next is like, how do y'all manage together the stress of, I mean, starting a business and growing it is maybe one of the most stressful things we've ever experienced. I'm sure it is for y'all. Do y'all have any strategies or systems or processes in place for you or your family where you can help manage the stress or
you must, because you just keep doing it.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah looks 10 years older probably because of Mosaic House and methodical, so I'm not sure.
Thank you. I was going to say, I think our technique is to sweep it under the rug, right?
Wow.
No. That was supposed to be a joke. Hopefully we're
you
not
heard
doing
it.
That.
You heard it here first, folks.
I don't know that we do have any great strategies. I mean, we're trying to be aware of the other person's stress level, and if it's usually you. If you seem really stressed about something, then I just know to lay off until you're ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
But that's not just work. That's everything.
And also Sarah gives me a very long leash to like go do something if I need to. So super supportive. I need to be at the shops late and working on something or something pops up. I'm trying to get better about giving her a heads up. Like, hey, this might be a late night because of X, Y, Z. And I think that probably goes a little bit longer than just not communicating or just showing up late.
Mm-hmm.
But it works. I think there's a lot less stress because we can support each other. She does a great job of just letting me run, and I never know what my days are going to look like. So I think you've become more comfortable with that, which is probably stress eliminating a little bit.
Letting you run like jog or letting you run like leave?
Both.
just taking the days. running to, but that doesn't affect her stress level because she sleeps through all
that. Oh, nice.
I don't run at noon like Ryan.
I like the heat.
I like the heat.
You're crazy.
What is a lesson y'all have learned about working together that you feel like could be used or helpful for someone, for a couple working together in any industry?
Or thinking about working together.
Yeah.
Mm. You should do it. I think it's amazing because our lives, I think a lot of people, their marriages evolve and they have different interests and they go separate directions. But since we have worked together, I don't feel like our paths can go that far apart because, you know, we're together during the days and in the evenings. So I think it's been good for our relationship. We have so many people tell us, like, I could never work with my spouse, but
yeah,
I couldn't work without her because, like, all the things I'm terrible at, she's great at. So it's like the first person that comes to mind on, like, on projects, like, oh, I need Sarah to help me on this because she's amazing at this. So
I think, you know, putting this out to anybody listening, I definitely personalities play a part in that. There are personalities that should not work together, right? And that would be catastrophic for some people. We are both pretty task-oriented and, you know, you're going to work on the thing until it's done. And we both get that about each other. I think there's parts of our personality that make this a lot easier for us than it would be for others. But I wouldn't change it.
Yeah. What do y'all's kids think about methodical? They like my, our example is May is like, she's already working behind the cash register with us.
On Saturdays, right?
Sometimes, yeah.
It's either like school holidays or when we're like a Saturday low on staff or something like that. What about y'all's kids?
I love her.
Well, her and George, could they like take over methodical?
Oh, yeah. Now we're onto something.
Yeah.
Actually, side note, Sarah and David's youngest and our oldest were in two K together, and they had like a little crush on each other.
2K.
It was really cute.
It was precious.
Until I got that threatening message from Ryan that George shouldn't be sitting so close to me in the rocking chair.
Yeah, I got a picture of them under a blanket together. Yeah, rocking, so
that's gonna rocking a baby doll.
Yeah, I mean, that was
that was the first time I knew about you guys.
I think that was it too. Yeah. That's when we like reconnected with David and met you. But what do they think about it now? What do they think about methodical?
I wish I'd asked them this question. I think that they're proud of it. Mm-hmm. I think that it gives them a little bit of street cred maybe with their teachers. Or their,
oh, yeah.
Their
teachers
friends.
Love free coffee.
I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you're in a new atmosphere and you kind of drop that, oh, hey, my dad owns methodical. I think, you know, there's a certain, I don't know, something that comes with that. So yeah. I think there's that. There have been a lot of sacrifices that they've made because of the company. I like to tell myself that there are a lot of pros that outweigh the cons. And I think they're learning hard work. They're learning all kinds of things. I don't know. I think it's great. What they would tell you. Do you have any guesses?
I love, they're all in on methodical, I think, because the days that the shops are closed or they're out of school and Sarah still has to run around and do deposits, their favorite thing to do is jump behind bar and pretend... run the cash register.
Which I do not let them do.
Yeah, and they make their own drinks. There's like this assumption if they get to walk in and it's after hours, they just like start making chai or whatever else is there.
That's
but
funny.
I do think they enjoy, and it'll be interesting for them to like pursue a career because their career or our careers are just like you own a business and you do anything and everything that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. So it'll be weird. I don't even know if they know what an office or a corporate job looks like because they've never been exposed to that yet. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
George often jokes if he doesn't make to be a professional soccer player, he'll come back and work for Methodical. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for him.
He's going to have to fight Tallulah for it. I think she wants it.
That's right.
There are more owners' kids involved than just our two. So.
That's right.
All right. So would y'all ever start another business together? Are you like, our hands are full with this? Or have y'all ever played with other ideas?
David has an idea every 10 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think my third chapter, if I'm allowed to say I have a third chapter.
Nice.
You can.
Doesn't involve a startup because I desire to work for a professional sports team at some point in my life.
As an athlete.
Yeah.
George is playing on the
I like to pick up professional sports.
I've been trying to get him to the field goal kicker or PGA golfer. Those things can include your dad. we didn't think coffee was on the horizon, yeah. and it kind of came. So for sure, we'd start another company, but we love Methodical and don't see anything changing there. But I really do want to work for a sports team at some point. I think that'd be fun to live in that.
What sport?
There's no money in cycling. And that's my favorite sport. Ryan knows all about that. I have football, basketball, soccer, something like that. Just a dream job.
What would you do? Operations? Everything?
So I love...
clean grease traps.
I love sports and I love people and being hospitable. So managing somebody's schedule and just taking care of details. I have a friend that does this for the Timberwolves and... the mutual friend of ours, like, this is horrible. He has the worst job in the world. I'm like, I would love to make a tea time for the NBA star and like go get him Chick-fil-A on the way back to the hotel or something like that.
Cleaning.
Yeah. All that stuff. Just like, that would get me going and really excited just to serve people well. Cause like, that's who I am.
That's true.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in this career.
Well, Chrissy is
your third chapter.
Chrissy's pursuing a professional tennis career. So maybe you could be her.
Her agent. I'm an adult woman athlete. That's what I have to say, so I don't take myself too seriously. Okay.
Are you beating Ryan in tennis?
I could definitely beat Ryan in tennis, but I beat him in tennis on our honeymoon, and I wasn't even practicing then.
She was cheating, though.
Was cheating.
How do you cheat?
Yeah, let's not go to that.
Wait, would you start? I want to hear Sarah's answer. Would you start another business? I know we're short on time here.
No, we're good. I want to know.
I am risk averse. Every time there's a new, like, hey, I think Methodical is going to do this thing, I'm like, ooh, cringe. I don't want to do anything
money.
Else. Yeah, it costs money. It's like so much work. You can plan for your whole lifetime, and there will still be unexpected issues that you are going to have to fix. So, my gut is like, no, thank you. But I would, if just because it's like working with David, like that part's easy. That's a no-brainer. It's just all the other parts involved in starting a business.
Well, I have some rapid fire, a rapid fire question for y'all.
A rapid fire?
Just one. Okay. Ryan, you can throw one in if you have it. But I do want to say, I feel like y'all won't hype yourselves up, but watching Methodical start from the ground up, just really cool to have friends that have built a successful business and to see it grow to the level it is now of like the roasting facility in TR, which is giant, and y'all store our cups for us. Thank you. And also
and everyone else is in town.
Three retail shops in Greenville. It's just really cool to see people running business, running it well, having friends, y'all as friends in the community to bounce ideas off. So we're really thankful for what y'all have done in the community. And I think too, like, when people think about coffee, Greenville, even South Carolina, Methodical is one of the top ones that comes to people's minds. So it's really cool what y'all are doing. So
one of the, who else are we including?
I'm not going to say, just like they won't say the other people that use them exclusively. But my question is, what is your go-to coffee order when you visit a Methodical shop?
A mocha every time.
Really?
Wow. I like that.
That is shocking.
Is it? I love it.
Okay.
Cheers.
Well, in case I don't get the opportunity.
David's like, I don't even like coffee.
I don't drink it anymore. Crazy. I do a drip coffee every time. I rarely get a milk beverage. So just whatever's on drip. But I would like to say thank you for Mountain Goat, because we can't often enjoy Methodical when you go into our shops. Their work.
Yeah.
You see the dishes. You see something on the floor, an interaction that you want to change.
Yeah.
And those are hard things to
familiar
walk into. And so thank you for having an amazing spot here that we can come in and truly enjoy. And it's an easy default. Like, hey, let's have a beer. Goat.
Yeah.
Have a coffee. Goat. So thank you for creating something awesome and special that is huge in the community. So many people love this place. And this is like their third spot. So you guys are crushing it.
Thanks.
Yay.
Thanks so much. So I actually have another one I thought of. What is the next alternate milk? So, you know, for a while it was like straight almond. Like that was, it was either you would go to a coffee shop, y'all feel this. I'll say before that it was even soy, before people started realizing soy not being good for you. And then it was like almond, hardcore almond. And then oat is like everybody's go-to now, but I've been hearing some buzz in the news about oat milk. And so what's the next alternate milk? And I'm asking because I'm curious, but also we would like to be on top of this trend so we can start offering it.
I was going to say goat just as a joke.
People ask us all the time if we have goat milk.
Oh, that would be so appropriate. You should try it.
Maybe.
Oh, wow. Specialty drink coming to you.
Yeah.
We're all going to go back to whole milk and just be like, milk is milk.
We're like, we've actually all realized this is the But, you know, people do have intolerances. Then we want to be able to offer those alternate.
Cashew? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't drink rice milk.
Rice milk. Interesting.
Yeah.
Chicken stock.
Come by for our chicken stock latte.
Do you have an idea on that? I'm curious.
Honestly.
Okay. Latte art with chicken
stock. Well, I would like to say... I don't know if y'all listened to our viral episode, but we may make a post saying...
viral episode.
Like, our viral episode is in, like, we talked about how you go viral on Instagram.
Oh.
But one of the ways is outrage. And if we posted a post that we now have a chicken stock latte, a bone broth latte, people would be into that. Oh, They're into that.
Yeah, bone marrow.
Did you guys get that with the... Was it Myrtle Beach?
Yeah,
was
the Myrtle Beach. That was our, like...
Yes. Or most like the viral like reel. Divisive. That was a divisive one.
It was so creative.
Yeah. So, we're going to post the chicken stock latte,
okay.
But I don't know what the next milk is. I'm just asking y'all because I want to know so we can do it.
Uh-huh. For like a week, I try to be vegan and I love biscuits and gravy. It's my favorite thing in the world. And the only milk that you can make a gravy with is cashew. So that's why I defaulted to cashew milk.
Interesting.
It's very expensive though.
Yeah.
Well, still at ground zero of not knowing where the next milk is. But if y'all find it, come to us first and tell us.
You got it.
I have one rapid fire question.
Ooh.
So this is kind of one of our, like, we talked about doing this as like a bit or like a segment is like franchise or flames. Like, how are you feeling today? Like opening another location or burning them all to the ground. But David and I have like an inside joke too of like when things are going bad, we'll just send each other a screenshot of like what the flights to Portugal or somewhere cost today. Mm-hmm. So curious where your escape hatch is today, as of today. Like, where would you, you're just like leaving it all and flying somewhere.
Oh, Prague. Right?
You go back to Prague.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the where.
Yeah.
That's where we're answering. Oh.
Well, and if that's how you feel today.
Oh.
Do you want to go to Prague today or do you want to?
New methodical.
You want to open a new methodical? Okay.
I'm riding high right now.
That's great.
I do feel like we've got amazing people in place, so that just like makes my job more enjoyable. But that could be different in an hour.
Oh, it's so fragile. So it is. The system is so fragile.
As soon as you check your phone after we stop recording.
Do not disturb off. Brian, what are the ticket prices at Prague?
Let me record a bonus episode real quick. I hate this place.
Sarah, would Prague be your answer too?
I mean, to visit, yeah. I wouldn't.
What if you're running away to somewhere?
Oh. Let's go to, I'm in Portugal. I haven't been to Portugal yet, but I hear it's awesome.
Okay, why not? We can
let's go there.
Chrissy, what's your spot? Like, I know about Lisbon.
That's right. That's more Ryan's answer, isn't it?
Where I would run away to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Colombia? South Carolina?
Colombia or Colombia? No, not Colombia, South Carolina. You know, it's hard to think about where I'd run away to. Because I would require... I want to move somewhere where... Probably somewhere in Italy. Because I want to live in a town where I can walk to restaurants. Somewhere I could live where I wouldn't require public or a car. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of having everything at your fingertips. So honestly, like domestic, I would go to New York City probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
International, probably like a smaller Italian town. I don't know which one, but one that I could walk to places. And like, you know, it's like so cute to like people that like go get their groceries every day. Even though if I have to go to the grocery store more than once a week, I'm like, son of a. But it sounds romantic in Italy, like my baguette
you
sticking
had a
out
third
of the bag.
Third time you could have dropped that word on this.
I know.
Absurd. If are we the worst? Are we the first people to have like cursed on?
No, I have used profanity.
Ooh. Okay.
Kind of.
We'll unpack that next week.
Yeah. People. All right. Close this out, Ryan.
Bye.
No.
Thank you all for coming. This was fun.
This was great. Was thanks for y'all's time and for our lovely methodical beans that we use.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you guys for having us.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.